What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and good God, the New Orleans Saints suck. Good morning, Brian.
They are horrible. You know what? I think it's about time for them to bring back an old school thing. Put some more bags back on y'all heads, brother. And that's the reason I never cheer for them. And I would have to say, I'm going to say Drew Brees, thank you, because Drew did come in after Hurricane Katrina. And he brought a lot of hope and love to that area, and they got him a Super Bowl. But what I saw last night, I'm going to say, JP, you could be better than Rattler. And Toby and Jeff could block better than some of those offensive linemen.
Shout out to Toby sitting in today. Landfill got a big old dentist appointment. Heard
I'm not trying to say y'all big. I'm just saying y'all can block better than them, all right?
There are some old lineman vibes coming out of the aquarium. My boy, I've told you about my buddy before. He's a doctor. He's a brilliant human. But he recently, I swear to God, this is all facts. He recently took up sports betting. He's like, I don't know. Everybody's talking about it. I figured I'd try it. I was like,
well, that's that. No, wait.
I was like, all right, doc.
He's book smart.
Yes.
Because everybody's talking about it, so I'm going to try it.
You know what his favorite thing is?
You lose money when you try stuff that you don't know what the hell you're doing.
You know what his favorite thing is?
What?
Parlays, of course. So the junkies
You know that we'll read about?
Right.
In an hour or so?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about the parlays.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a reason they advertise the parlays. The junkies have about a million steaks out here. They had a steak contest.
Man, ain't no steaks. It's just bones over there. I am not Chick Hernandez. I'm not biting on the bone.
The chick's bone habit is wild. But I went for a steak dinner with a bunch of guys last night. So I literally couldn't be less interested in steak right now, and there's just steak all over the building. But my boy Cisco last night tells me, he's like, you want to hear about my parlay tonight? I was like, sure, dude. He had Spencer Rattler to throw for over 225 last night. I was like, dude, that's a rookie quarterback in his second start against a really good defense.
That's not really good.
25 and 35 for $172.
Let me tell you.
He's 50 yards off. 50 yards off base.
Spencer Rattler looked like he was starting his first game in high school and was nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it was his second start, I think.
I'm just saying, bro.
But just from a viewability of a football game.
It was horrible.
These two teams, Denver, who won the game running away, was 4 of 11 on third down. The Saints were 5 of 17 on third down. It was just, there were three turnovers. 9 punts. It was just awful. It was awful football.
Hey,
if you want to, if you're a Broncos fan, they're 4-3.
I pulled the JP last night. I went over. I was watching the game with my boy, and the game was so awful. I was like, "Look, bro, I'm going home early." I left.
Isn't it great?
I mean, it wasn't great.
It's great to go home.
The game was horrible. And I got tired of
the baseball
there.
Was good. At the
I didn't want to drink any more beer.
The Guardians Yankee game was really good. The Guardians came all the way back.
Actually, when they switched over to that was a little bit more fun because you look at it and the Yankees were cheering like hell, and then all of a sudden, bang!
Yeah,
homer.
Postseason baseball is so great.
Look at Jeff's face.
Postseason baseball is so much fun to watch because every pitch matters. It's like playoff hockey, playoff baseball. I will confess, I watch the Nats and the O's, and then I watch the Caps. Caps held on for that win last night, right, Toby? Good Caps win?
Big-time win, yes.
Yeah, okay.
3-2.
Because I watched the Caps, but then they switched it to football, so I my TV situation got screwed up where I was. Good win for the Caps. They've won two in a row, two of their first three. Caps are cruising. But, B, postseason baseball and postseason hockey, I don't watch the Saturday night game of the week, if it is Dodgers-Mariners or if it is Blackhawks-Red Wings, I ain't watching that. Like, it's just, like, I'm a local hockey and baseball fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But playoffs, I'm watching all of it.
Yeah,
playoffs.
Because
to get to watch Shohei right now is...
Playoffs is when they finally act like they're kids again.
Yeah.
Where they do whatever they can. They give all their effort to try and win. The regular season games, sometimes they just go through the damn motions. I'll be honest with you, and it's hard as hell to watch 160-plus games consistently, you know, and think that you're not going to get bored a little bit. But when they get in the playoffs and it's the best of seven and best of five and things of that nature, it is unbelievable because all of a sudden, every grown-ass man act like they're that little kid again who loved it. You know, like, my whole thing is, I had guys when I was getting older and the thing, man, why you always joking around? I say, joking? I'm having fun. This is a damn game, fool. And they've happened to pay me for it. So I'm going to enjoy this. You know, how many times in the world you have a game you love playing and you grow up a little bit and then they paying you for it?
Not many.
So I enjoyed it. And that's what I love so much about Jaden. That dude seems like he's having total fun on a football field.
I really agree with that. And, Jeff, we got to play this audio. See if you can pull it off my Instagram page. Terry McLaurin yesterday talking about the second. Did you see the post? I posted this video. Mm-mm. The second touchdown throw, the fourth down play, where it looked just like a pretty simple out that Jaden threw the perfect pass and Terry caught it, had to dig it out. It was shoulder. Either Terry's catching that or it's going out of bounds. It was.
Yeah.
Terry told the story that Jaden, actually Cliff told the story, and then Terry commented on it. And shout out to the, I should text Chick. I'm trying to remember the other dude from Channel 9's name. It was a great question. Basically, Jaden said to Terry, he let him pick the route on that play. And Terry's like, listen, it'll depend on his leverage. If when we line up, he's inside, I'll run the out. If he's outside, I'm going to run the slant. Terry said he wanted to run the slant, but realized he was playing inside leverage, so his release point was going to be on the outside of it. And listening to them talk, and particularly like watching him tell the story, and he's smiling, and he's gesturing, and he's like, you know, kind of like, it was pretty awesome. They got something in that locker room, B. And they got something
with
Jaden.
The thing of it, like with Jaden for sure, you normally hear quarterbacks in their latter part of their career where they're now, they've been a receiver so long, and they can make those adjustments. They can read each other's body language. Hell, they're doing this in, what, six games? So it is impressive. And the thing of it, and I'll go back to when we were trying to talk about Ben Johnson or Dan Quinn. Everybody just wanted Ben Johnson because he was the new sexy toy. Keep hearing about how Dan Quinn was this damn leader, this motivator, and I think they made the right damn decision. Because he's the one that started this whole thing with his coaches, and then the coaches tell everybody in their different positions, and now it's in all of the players. You have to love it.
So let's hear Terry. This is Terry explaining the fourth down, the second receiving touchdown in the game against the Ravens. It's pretty cool.
What was said in the huddle, and what does that say about just the relationship you guys have grown so far?
Yeah, it's definitely growing between him and I, and coming out of the huddle on that play, he just asked me, what route do I want? And I was like, all right. So I kind of thought about it, and right before that, I think we had like a timeout, and the way he was playing, I liked a slant, but coming out of that, of the huddle, I was like, if he's on a heavy inside leverage, we've already talked about this back in camp, but if I don't necessarily like the look, then we give each other a little signal. And coming off that release, he banked heavy inside. So I went to kind of run the slant, but then I saw how heavy he was inside, and the release allowed me to get back outside and create some separation. And I think obviously the pump was him just trying to feel what I was going to do with my body language. And he threw a really great back shoulder. And so when the DB's in scramble mode like that, it just gives me an opportunity to be able to locate the ball quicker than he can. And I think he put it in a spot to where only I could get it. And then I feel like I excel at the catch point. So I just wanted to be able to make that play. And I think it's just another testament for him and I to be able to stay on the same page. And fourth down, third down, got to have his situations to keep us in the game. That was a really big play. And the O-line did a great job of just giving him enough time because they definitely came with a little bit of pressure. But I think Jaden does a great job of knowing where he wants to go when he's hot or just taking the matchups. And I think it's exciting for him and I to get.
What was.
Yep. But
pretty cool, right?
But see, and I know people hear that, run a snap. It's not as easy as he's saying it. Because let's be real, just like we talk about referees normally, like, trying to predict what's going to happen, you might look at something, and just like he said, at the when he went to he wanted to run the slant, but the guy jumped heavy inside, so then he just turned that into an out. What if Jaden saw that the guy was set up kind of right on him and threw the slant early? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of like being patient and stuff that goes into that. So I'm loving it, man. Listen, about time I could be excited about people talking real football around this joint than talking about all that BS we had to talk about.
It's funny too because so it was a really good question to follow up with him and Terry. You can see it. I put it on YouTube. Actually, Jeff, it's on my TikTok page because I'm out here talking in these streets. But Nikki followed up. Nikki Javala from the Post followed up. Have you ever had a quarterback let you pick the route? And Terry just laughed. He's like, not since like high school. Like that stuff doesn't really happen. And it makes me circle back to when the Giants had the Hard Knocks from the offseason, right? And Brian Daboll, their head coach, I don't think with malice. I think he was just kind of messing around and putting a young man to the test. But he tried to, like, create a scenario that was really difficult for Jaden to figure out what the right move was. Mm-hmm. And Jaden's response was, I just throw a touchdown. Like, the vernacular and the jargon and the analytics and Pro Football Focus and Twitter screen grabs, like, all of these things are designed to make it seem like football's so incredibly complex that you have to be some level of extreme expert that grinds the all 22 every week that most people are full of it about. But like that, hey, everything is so overly complicated that you simple peasant peon can never, never even contemplate. It's pitching and catching. Yeah. It's a good quarterback and a good receiver seeing where the corner is and going the other way.
It's having a feel. And I think that's the ultimate thing. Like, you know, the angles. If a quarterback, there's a quarterback might look out there and see something that the other quarterback won't see and throw the ball too soon. You get what I'm saying? So it comes down to the feel, and you know how a person, if you watch a guy every day in practice, you know what type of routes they run. That is why I've been so baffled by so many times. Remember, for years, the quarterbacks here were not allowed to check plays. A lot of coaches wouldn't allow it. I did it in high school. So
it's just a control thing. Control freaks.
So when you at the pro level, receivers and quarterbacks should be doing this on a regular basis. Because once that game starts, this guy may not play the same damn look he played all week. We've been watching film. He's been doing this, and then he gets in the game, he does something completely different. I want to have my guys that are savvy enough to say, hey, he's not doing what he was doing. He's trying something else. Let's switch it up.
It's pretty remarkable what I mean. Even last night, there was a rookie quarterback there were two rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One of the offenses was able to score 30. One of the teams was able to score 33 points. But, like, there's no way the people in Denver are talking about Bo Nix. Like, the people in Washington are talking about Jaden.
Bo Nix did last night. Bo Nix started to run. Bo Nix said, look, I'm not throwing it well, but I'm going to run this damn thing.
16-26 for a 164, no touchdowns, no picks. 10-75.
Hey.
That's the path, Bo.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the path.
Don't force feed it. And then his running back was taking care of him.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Maryland Governor Wes Moore is red hot. I got to confirm it. I think he's 16-10 on the season. I think he's plus six. Maryland Governor Wes Moore joins us next, making football picks for the weekend. We're waiting on Maryland Governor Wes Moore to join us here in just a few minutes. I just pulled it up. Shout out to Carter. Carter Elliott is Wes Moore's PR chief, would be my guess at what his title is. Carter's our guy, and Carter's a huge Commanders fan. And Carter finally gave up on me keeping track of how the governor's bets are going. And Carter set up a spreadsheet, which is something I really don't know how to do, but I can at least look at it and acknowledge this. You ready for this, B?
Mm-hmm.
After week three, the Gov was 8-8.
Uh-huh.
The Gov's gone 4-1 the last 3 weeks and is now 20-11.
Man, it's rolling.
That is good, dude.
He's rolling, man.
I mean, that is really good. That is kind of the
maybe
opposite.
Maybe you should listen to the Gov more instead of yourself. Because you've been killing yourself.
I did win a bet last night. Where's the sounder, Jeff? I actually won a bet. I picked up a full unit last night, and I'm going to shout them out. Bang, there it is. I made $45 last night.
Still in the hole.
No, I'm up, but not much.
If you haven't won bets over the last 2 weeks, how are you still up? What you been betting, a penny?
My standard unit is $50.
Okay, you won $45, and you haven't won bets, you said, from a few weeks.
I was up big, and I leave it in there. I don't always pull it out. I like to maintain
a
positive.
You might need to pull it out, man. You don't need no more kids.
That's why I went to V-Town, B. No more kids showing up. Shout out to Pete Haley. Gave me a winner last night. B's been giving me winners.
Pete Haley?
Pete Haley gave me a winner last night. You know what it was? You ever heard of this dude? What's my man's name? Audric Estime.
Nope, never heard of him.
At Esteem. I don't. Estime. How you saying that?
Estime.
Estime. Shout out to Audric Estime. We got the governor.
What did he do?
He went over his rushing total. That's what he did. Right now, we are joined by Maryland Governor Wes Moore. Gov, you are on fire.
Oof, let me tell you, man. I'm telling people, just bet with the gov, man. You're going to be okay.
I'd be a lot better off if I did, sir. I'll be honest with you. We got to see you last weekend, and obviously we got to make our picks going forward here. But what'd you think of that atmosphere and then the ball game that followed in Baltimore last week for Ravens Commanders?
So I got to tell you, I mean, the atmosphere is bananas. And you know what was really wild was that, I mean, listen, it was in Baltimore, so it was a home game for the Ravens. But there were really moments in the game that you couldn't have told that it was a home game for the Ravens.
Yep.
And it just shows that the fan base is back for the Commanders. And it's not just the fan base is back. The team is back. Because, you know, even though the Ravens showed why they are the most high-powered offense, in the NFL, and honestly, I don't know what NFL team is going to have an answer for the kind of offense that the Ravens have pulled together. The thing that you do know is, even with a loss, that was a game that showed that the Commanders are for real. Jaden Daniels is for real, and how the offense is actually developing around him is for real. And so it's really interesting seeing what's happening right now. I don't think there's any question at all about who is the best team in the NFC East, and you know, we're talking about a team now with the Commanders. They are absolutely going to be playoff bound. I mean, this team is legit.
They really are, and getting to watch Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson in that atmosphere and kind of trading punches. I never thought the Ravens were really in danger of losing. Right? I don't know if you felt the same. Like, they were kind of controlling the game, but. Yeah. Jaden had no fear in there was nothing. The moment was not even close to too big for him.
Correct. That's exactly right. And listen, I mean, like, you know, it showed that there's still holes for the Commanders. I mean, you can't give up 30 points and think that that's going to be okay. That even if with a high powered offense, your defense has got to do better than giving up 30 points. But the thing that we saw was that even when the Ravens scored, the Commanders had the ability to respond. And that's what you look for in your offense, is never let your team, even if your defense is weaker, never let your team get too far behind. And the offense was good enough in order to make that happen against the Baltimore defense that, you know, frankly, isn't you know, top of the league, but is not at the bottom of the league either. I mean, mm-hmm. The Baltimore defense is still a really good defense. And so it was a good game. But, again, I think it really showed that, you know, that for the Ravens, you know, the entire AFC really has a problem on their hands trying to deal with these Ravens who are now on a, you know, four-game winning streak, and the offense is just absolutely clicking.
Yeah, I mean, now that they've got it kind of cooking with Henry, too, that's loaded.
A team that's going to be – only team that's going to give them a problem if they got four great down linemen, I think they can affect them. If you don't have four great down linemen, you got problems.
Yeah, because if you got to commit backers exactly to the line of scrimmage. Go. Yeah, I'm with you, man. All right,
I think that's exactly right.
You are red hot, sir. Do you want to get to the picks?
Let's do it.
20-11 on the season, three straight weeks at 4-1. Gov, do you feel a 5-0 week coming?
Hey, JP, can you say that again?
Three straight weeks at 4-1. I mean.
Oh, yeah. If say a little louder, actually.
If folks are betting, there's,
I heard you. I want everybody else to hear you.
There is cash to be made here. Let's start with a loser leaves town match. Eagles Giants, where I wonder, I feel like a coach could be fired by Tuesday.
That's if Saquon has over 100.
I'm not even sure if the coaching staff is going to be the same by the time. You know, one, I think the Eagles are going to win. But here's the thing. No one is looking forward to watching this game because these are not good teams. They're not teams that are they're both two teams that are just playing down. And frankly, you know, and I think the challenge that you have for the Eagles, and again, I know it sounds like a broken record. I'm going to say it again. As long as they have this coaching staff on board, the Eagles will not be successful. They actually have a roster that's decent on paper, but the players are not playing for the coaches right now. So I mean, so the benefit that the Eagles have going into this game is kind of, you know, it's twofold. One, you got Saquon, and I think Saquon has a personal bone to pick.
Yeah.
And I think Saquon is looking forward to this game. He's had this game circled on his calendar for a long time. And the second thing that is going for the Eagles is they're playing the Giants. And I think that is going to be very helpful for the Eagles. So I think this is going to be an ugly game. I don't think this is going to be a really, you know, appealing game to watch. But I do think the Eagles end up pulling it off.
Hey, Gov, can I ask you, you've been in, I imagine, a lot of difficult press conference settings just in the political realm. I don't know if you saw, but the Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni brought his kids into the press conference last week. I just thought that was such a cowardly act. Apparently he's done it before and there's some standard for it. But did you notice that? What did you make of that?
You know, it's funny. I didn't watch. I heard about it. I mean, you know, I think the idea was that people are going to be a little easier if your kids are there, which might be true. But also the thing I heard about it was they weren't that easy on them either. So,
right.
I mean,
Philly.
I'm not sure if they still grilled them. And they should. Listen, these are high-pressure jobs. And these are jobs where the bar and the expectation is very high, especially when you're coaching a place like Philadelphia. It's like, you know, listen, these are folks who throw batteries at you if your team doesn't play well. So it's like, so there's a very high bar, you know, for what people want and what people expect. And so I didn't see the press conference. I did hear about what happened with his kids, but I also heard they didn't cut him much slack either.
That's true. All right, we got a.
They shouldn't.
It's an awesome weekend in the NFL games wise.
We
got a Super Bowl rematch: Niners Chiefs.
Mm. I tell you what, man. I mean, you know, this is, and you're right. This is going to be a great week of football, with the exception of the Eagles Giants. But this one is going to be a real showdown. Now the thing that is really fascinating to me about this is the Chiefs are still undefeated, but they're the underdogs, which is fascinating to me because I just feel like the Chiefs are not getting the respect that they deserve and the respect that their play is actually showing. And so the Niners just haven't shown me anything to prove that, you know, that they are, know that they're, you know, the team that everyone should be looking out for, or a team that frankly can beat the Chiefs, who still, again, are undefeated. So the fact that McCaffrey is still out, I think, is a very big deal, especially in this game, because McCaffrey's always the X factor in this. And as long as he's out, I always think that that's going to be a huge bump against the Niners. So I go with the underdogs in this. I go with the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs remain undefeated. And I think that people continue blowing them off and saying that, oh, they're not the same, until we'll see what happens, who makes the Super Bowl this year.
They're back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
And the same scenario just happened where the Niners were favored in the Super Bowl, and here
Correct.
We are again.
And they lost.
McCaffrey's still out.
Everybody else was healthy. Yes.
Exactly. And so I don't get it. Like, the level of disrespect that people continue to give to the Chiefs is wild. But you know what? Hey, it is what it is, and the Chiefs don't care.
Right.
You know, I'm telling you, man. I remember in the AFC Championship game, because I was there when they were playing the Ravens, and the Ravens came out just like hyped and excited, and the warm ups were just like, you know, electric, and the Chiefs came out so calm, the Chiefs came out so just like relaxed. Like, we've been here before, y'all. And I remember watching them warm up and thinking to myself, damn it, we're going to lose this game. Because they're not phased. Yeah. And so I do love the fact that they are not phased.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's keep it going. Another big one. You've got the only other undefeated team in the NFL in the Minnesota Vikings, just like we all expected, playing the Lions, surging Detroit Lions.
Yes, yes. This one, you know, and I tell you, with the exception of the Ravens game, this is the one I'm actually most excited about watching this weekend, because I just think these are two legit good teams. And I don't think this is the last time these teams are going to see each other, because I think that they've got to, you know, because they'll probably see each other in the playoffs as well. And they're both playing really, really good football right now. I just think right now that the Vikings are just showing a level of consistency and just showing also just a level of grit that I think is just incredibly important. And the other thing is, too, is no one has figured out an answer for Justin Jefferson at this point. You know, I'm pretty sure he scored a touchdown in every single game this year so far, at least one touchdown, which is wild. That you know, you have all the game tape, you have all the schemes, you have all the strategy, and you still cannot keep him out of the end zone. And so I think that the Lions are a really good team. I think their run game, especially when you're looking at what's happened with Montgomery and Gibbs, has been unbelievable what you've been able to see. And I do think this can be a close game, but I think the Vikings pull this one off.
It's going to be fast. If they get to 6-0, at some point, people got to talk about Sam Darnold in a very different light.
I think it actually has to happen already. I mean, honestly, like, you know, I think he has done it. First of all, he has enough of a body of work. And I know it's been sporadic, but I think he has enough of a body of work even going into this year to show that he's a legit QB. And then I think when you look at what he's done this year, and again, you don't get to 6-0 just because.
Right.
It's pretty rare air when you get into teams like that. And so I agree with you. I think there's going to be a different kind of conversation about it. But not to mention the fact they're at home.
For sure. Heck of a matchup for your boys this weekend. Ravens, Bucks. Yeah. The Bucks are good. Vita Vea on the D-line is a horse, and then they got receivers. Baker's playing well. What do you think in this one?
You know, the Bucks are good, and I think they're playing well. And I think you're also seeing where Baker's actually, he's more consistent than I thought. I mean, I remember the first couple of weeks when he was just putting up like silly numbers, MVP numbers, and I was like, yeah, that comment is gonna come down pretty quick. He's definitely cooled off a little bit, but he's still been pretty hot, which is a big deal. I also just think that the Ravens are just on top of the football world right now. And I just do not think that there is an answer. Now, one thing that I am concerned about is the defense is just not stopping enough, and particularly when it comes to our secondary. And I think that's the kind of game that Baker Mayfield likes. I think that's the kind of game that the Bucks like. And where the Bucks have been able to exploit other teams has been when you just, you know, they have not been able to stop the air game of the Bucks. So I think that's real. At the same time, though, you know, the Bucs have not shown that they have the capacity to stop the kind of running game that the Ravens are going to come with. And we just have too many weapons that you can play around with when you're the Ravens. So I think the Ravens go down to Tampa Bay, and I think the Ravens come back with a win.
That'd be a big one, man. Get to 5-2, really assert yourself, kind of. And maybe not the top dog, because there's KC still floating around, but you know, you go down to Tampa, get that win on Monday Night Football. I imagine that place will be buzzing. Obviously, they've dealt with a lot of natural disasters over the last month or so. That's going to be a really good game.
It is. It is me a good game.
I don't think this was going to take you too long. Commanders versus Panthers.
Commanders. Commanders. We don't need to spend no time on this one. The Panthers. I'm embarrassed for them. I'm embarrassed, for what they're pulling together. I think that the locker room is chaos. I think that they, you know, they really thought they had their QB and now realize that they didn't. And that's actually, I mean, that's really hard for an NFL team when you go all in on somebody who you think is going to be the franchise, And this early on, you basically say, like, my bad, we got it wrong. It's just hard. I think the Panthers are about to hit a really difficult drought, and I think the Commanders are showing that, you know, that this is not a fluke, and this is not a game for them. They're really playing good football right now.
All right, Governor, I got you taking the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Vikes, the Ravens, and the Commanders.
That's it. We're gonna stay on a roll on this one.
Now, Gov, you told me this the other day. You've only run for an election once and you won it. And right now you're 4-1 3 weeks in a row, 20-11 through 6 weeks. The only thing left is to go 5-0, sir.
I know. Well, you know, but you know what though? I just say, you know, I'm very happy with our performance so far this year. We're not going to get too overconfident because, you know, it is still only about halfway.
You don't want to peak too early.
But you don't want to peak too early, but damn. I mean, damn. Look at those numbers.
Thank you, Governor. Have a great weekend.
Man, appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all, guys.
Gotcha.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore on fire with the picks. Absolutely on fire with the picks. Brian and I got to talk to Daryl Green yesterday. Shout out to B for making that happen. You'll hear from Daryl Green at high noon. B. Mitchell Finley, Cam Newton on my television. Quite a hat. That dude actually dresses like the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland. That's his look. God bless you, buddy. Toby's with us today. I haven't said good morning to Toby. Good morning, Toby.
Morning.
Jeff's with us. He's on the phone. He's DJing or cutting a deal, doing something. The chat's ripping and rolling. Commander Tequila, Lord knows what he's up to. Good morning to all the people in the chat. Getting ready for this Commanders game this weekend. It's funny, Deron Payne, I was talking to him outside of the locker room yesterday, and Big Payne is not he never is going to give you a long soundbite, but he's very honest and, like, just super chill and cool to talk to. And we asked him, like, you know, what do you think about the buzz around this team right now? He's like, man, we're winning. Fans are happy. It's really that simple. A wild thing unfolded in the aquarium a few minutes ago where Toby wants to go to the Maryland game this weekend. Where every gambling instinct in my life says take the Terps, but I've also watched them enough that I don't know that I can do it.
What's the point spread?
They're getting, I think it's 7.5, more than a touchdown. USC could score though, dog. Every game
is there enough defensively in Maryland?
I think it's a don't touch it for me. But every gambling instinct in my life tells me to take Maryland. But Toby's like, man, I was all excited. I was going to go to the Terps game and watch USC, but Toby hosts on the weekend, so he's got to work, which I respect. I'm like, sorry, buddy. If you want to go to another Terps game, let me know. I'll see if I can get you tickets. To which point,
he wanted to see this game.
To which point, Jeff says, Toby, I might have a slice for a ticket for the Washington game. Maybe. Big maybe. I'm trying to squirm for you, Jeffrey. And Toby's like, I didn't understand his reaction. He said, I'm so used to wanting to watch all of the games and not go to the stadium, but now I kind of just want to watch that game.
Want to watch what game?
I just don't care about what's going on around the NFL. Usually I'm so dialed in, not to say that I'm not. I still know what's going on, but usually it's I need to know what's going on with the Thursday night game, got to watch the Monday game, just everything going on with the league. Right now, I only care about what's going on with the guys in burgundy and gold. And that's not usually the case because, you know, it's only week 7, but usually by this time frame, we kind of understand that we're looking ahead to the draft. We're looking ahead to all these different things.
Why you should be in the stadium watching it, Toby.
I've been to the last two games.
You need to keep going.
How'd you get tickets? Jeff Seiss?
My cousin got tickets to the Browns game, so shout out my cousin Marla.
What's up, Marla?
She's a Browns fan, though, so I appreciate her getting tickets, though. And me and a couple of buddies who were Ravens fans, we bought tickets before the season.
You were up there for that?
Yeah, we would
those
not
tickets
have been
were crazy expensive.
We would not have been able to afford it if we waited until last week sometime.
Wow. Jeff, did you go to the Ravens game?
I would advise you to go to this game because these tickets are about to get a little too expensive, too.
Yeah.
Because
it ain't going away.
I looked at the prices for next week and the prices for the Steelers, far different.
Oh, yo, the Steelers prices are going to be nuts. The Steelers prices are going to be crazy. And then you get into those.
I already got 17.
The NFC East games are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Hell, the Bears game just got flexed to 4:30. That's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Jeff, is that the one you're DJing for?
Yep.
In the solar panel lot, right?
Yep.
DJ Jeff, everybody make sure you check him out if you're going to that Bears game. Brian, you are so right. So Panthers suck.
I pulled up last night. It was $82 was the starting at $82 for the Panthers game.
Your next chance at
I switched it over to the Steelers and it was starting at $190.
Yeah, I'm looking right now and I've learned.
And that's
Brian,
about to go up again.
Life's about learning. I've learned that these are per ticket prices.
Yeah.
Not for a pair. Even if you put in two. Still just pricing for one.
But it says it. It's a per ticket.
Right, you can get nosebleeds for like $65. $60 in the end zone.
This week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, it's not going to be cheap again for a while.
Yeah.
Because Steelers fans are everywhere.
And if you get the $60 ticket, when you get up there, your nose will start bleeding.
Well, and I'm going to say this now. When the Steelers fans show up to Northwest, that's not an invasion. Those bleepers are everywhere.
They buy.
So, like, I'm not even going to be mad about that. But you're not going to get another chance at a cheap ticket, relatively cheap. Everything's relative. The Bears is going to be through the roof. It's getting flexed. There's a million Chicago fans, Caleb versus Jaden, on the road in New York. Pittsburgh is going to be packed. At Philly, the Dallas game, packed. Your next chance at a cheap ticket's Tennessee, first weekend of December.
And if they keep playing how they've been playing, that's not going to be cheap.
And who the hell knows what the weather's going to be like on December
1st. Yeah, your boy 1st. Will be here next week.
Who's that?
Gil Walker.
Oh, boy. If you know Gil, that's a oh boy. How did the Commanders beat down the Panthers? We'll tell you next.